Today's daf is Baba Kama daf Mem Gimel. We left off yesterday on daf Mem Beis Amud Beis, toward the bottom at the two dots, five lines before the lines get wide, at the two dots. Tanu Rabbanan. Okay, so says Gemara, Tanu Rabbanan, Vehemis Ish O Isha. Pasuk says that Im Shor Nagachu Mitmol Shilshom V'Hur Bebailu, if you have a Shor Muad, V'lo Yishmerenu, and you don't watch the Shor Muad properly, V'hemis Ish O Isha, and the Shor goes and kills a man or a woman, Hashor Yisakel V'gam Ba'alav Yimas. So we know that the Shor gets Skila, V'gam Ba'alav Yimas isn't literally that the Bailam also gets killed, but it means K'misa Bailam Kach Misa Sashor. The way that the Shor gets Skila is very similar to the way a human being would be judged, which the Gemara darshins at the beginning of Masech Sanhedrin. But the bottom line is, the way the Torah describes a shor muad killing a person, it says, ish o isha. So the Gemara asks, or the Braisa asks, what does the word o isha come to teach me? Why would I think an isha would be any different? If it's coming to tell me that you're taka chayiv the same way for killing a woman as you are for killing a man, harik farnemar, ki yigach shor es ish, O.S. Isha. We already have a pasuk. The previous pasuk said, "V'chiyigach sharas ish O.S. Isha v'meis sakal yisakel ashar v'lo yechalas b'saro v'al asharaki." We already had the pasuk that we've been discussing recently, where the pasuk says that if a shar gores an ish or an isha, so you give the shar skila, and you can't eat the meat of the shar, and the bala shar is naki, which we also discussed at great length, what that means that the bala shar is naki. But the point is, we already have in the pasuk that it doesn't matter whether the victim of the shar is an ish or an isha. So what's the pasuk coming to teach me with the vehemis ish o isha? Ella, so it must be coming to teach me, lahakish isha le'ish, to compare the din of an isha to a din of an ish. Ma ish nizakov liyarshav, af isha nizkeha liyarsheha. That just like when the shor damages a man, the nizikin goes to the yarshim of that man, so too when it damages an isha, the nizikin goes to her yarshim, meaning as opposed to her husband. Not right. Rashi has two words: nizkeha liyarsheha velo labala. Right, it does not go to the husband; it goes to her children, to her yarshim. So says the Gemara, V'savar Rabbi Kiva lo yaris labal. Does Rabbi Kiva really hold? Again, Rabbi Kiva is the one who was the author of the Braisa. It was Amar Rabbi Akiva in the Braisa. So does Rabbi Akiva really hold that the husband doesn't yarshin the nizikin payments? V'atanya v'yarash osa mikan shabal yarish esishto div Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva darshins from a pasuk that a husband generally does yarshin his wife. So why should the husband not yarshin his wife's nizikin payments? So it says Gemara, Amar Reish Lakish, lo Amar Ella b'kofer, hol ve'in mishtalim ella charmisa, vavle ro'oi, ve'in habal notel b'ro'oi kibimuchzak. That the only time we say that the husband does not yarshin the wife is talking about the kofer payment. The shor killed the woman, and therefore there's a kofer payment owed. So generally speaking, for nezikin ein echinami, the husband yarshins his wife. Whatever money you owe the woman, the husband would yarshin the wife, it would seem. But when it comes to kofar, kofar is different. That since kofar is only shayich after misa, kofar can't happen before misa, because kofar is a payment for killing a person. So therefore it has a din of ra'ui, it has a din of something that's coming to her, but not something that she's already muchzuk in, because she can't be muchzuk in it because she's not dead. So she's and she can only get it when she's dead. So it has a din of ra'ui and not muchzuk. And we paskin in the Gemara Bava Basra that the husband is not yorish his wife in something that's ra'ui to come after she dies, the way he is in something she is muchzuk in while she's still alive. If she were muchzuk in it while she was still alive, then the husband would yarshin. But something that's ra'ui to come to her later, the husband would not yarshin. My time, what's the reason that kofar is only paid la'achar misa? Even though it says vehemis, meaning the pasuk says vehemis, Rashi points out, so that would be the obvious reason. Pasuk says you only get kofar when someone dies. So he says, no, but still, neima de kivan sha'amdu l'misa l'shtalei mechayim, Rashi says. I still could have thought, once you know that it's over, the guy's going to die, the person's going to die, even if the person has not yet died, but you know for sure they're going to die, so I might think you could pay the kofar mechayim. So how do I know that kofar can never be paid mechayim, even if you have a guarantee? Eliyahu Navi were to come and tell you, this person will die. You know they're going to bleed out, their wounds are not something that could possibly be cured, but still, as long as they're alive, kofar is not paid, so that's what makes it ra'ui. How do I know that that's so? Amar kra v'hemis ish o'isha hashar yisakel v'gamba alav yimas im kofar yusha salav. So we have the pasuk that ashar that just like the pasuk says shar yisakel relates to kofar, and just like the shar only gets skila when the nizik dies. Right, so too the kofar only happens when the nizik dies. It can only happen when the person is actually dead. Can't happen before the person is actually dead. So basically, we just said that when it comes to regular nizikin payments, Enoch Inami, Rabbi Akiva would say the baal can be yorish the wife. It's dafka by a kofar payment that the baal's not going to be yorish the wife. So in the Ma'oros Daf Yomi this week, they quote a shaila that was asked of Sturmbach about a situation where there was a mashkiach who was killed, and the insurance company was going to pay out the family, and they wanted to know how should they pay the family. There was an almana and two children living at home, and one child who was already married and independent, but he was the bechor. So they wanted to know, should you follow Dine Yerusha, give Pishnayim to the bechor and everything else to the other?
Pishnayim will call it Shayim Matzah. In the whole din of Pishnayim only applies where it's in Muksan first. If you owe the father's owed $100, the Pishnayim does not.
Good. So this is going to discuss. So they wanted to know, should they go with the Pishnayim, or should they just give the money to the wife to support her children that are there? So he quotes, so the Minchas Yitzchak apparently quotes this Gemara, and he quotes the Kasha of the Hafla'a that's quoted in the Minchas Chinuch, the Mitzvah Nun Aleph. Minchas Chinuch writes, Ulanias Daiti Masha Hikshu, that which they ask, who's they? He puts in brackets, Lacha Mishnah, Hafla'a, that Lomali Krasha Ein Abal Notel Kofar. Why do I need a pasuk that the husband doesn't get Kofar? Belafach Yavli Milva. When there's a loan that the guy is owed, it's called ro'i. It's not called muksak, that the woman is owed. Rather, if the woman is owed a loan, so that's also called ro'i, and the husband wouldn't get it. So why do I need a pasuk to tell me he doesn't get a kofar? So he says, L'anias daiti de ro'i lo havi, ele im hamamun shayich la'meis, v'yorish bo mikocho. Ra'oi only applies when the mamon belonged to the deceased person and the yorish is coming from the koach of the deceased. Kegon milva sheshayich lebechayim. When the woman is owed money because she lent money to somebody, so she's owed the money. It's her money. And it was hers when she was alive. V'meis yorshim also yorshim. And therefore, if she dies, the yorshim would get it. V'chein ben naflu l'meis l'chasim b'yerusha d'shayachim lo v'yorshim yorshim also. If the dead person receives the yerusha, their yorshim receive that yerusha in his place. Shayach lomer d'gozer ha'kasv d'ena bal yorish mashal b'lachar misas. Then we say, yeah, but there's a special din that the husband doesn't get that a Yerusha that comes, let's say the wife dies and then her father dies, so what, the husband gets the Shver's Yerusha? No, it doesn't. That's a special din. The husband doesn't get the Ra'oi Kiba Muchsuk. Aval Kofar, but Kofar is totally different. Kofar is not something that ever belonged to her. It's something that only gets paid, that gets paid when she's dead. So, but automatically it doesn't belong to her. That's exactly the line in the Gemara over here. Ein mishtalim elo liachar misa. It only gets paid after she's dead. So that we don't. Zegos are kasvet zarech l'shalma kofar liyorshim. So imkain ein amamish l'meis klal afilu liachar misa. It doesn't belong to the dead person at all. Ki atorah lo zikslo klal shiyamoshalo v'shiyorshav yirshul. So there's no din in the Torah that it's his money and that the yorshim get it. Rakat Torah gazer shemazik yitin kofar. The Torah just has a gzera that the mazik has to pay kofar. Who gets that money? The Yarshim, but it's not really Bedine Yerusha, because Yerusha works through the person, through the dead person. It was their money, they Yarshin it. Over here, it's a chiyuv on the mazik to pay, but it's not Bedine Yerusha, because it doesn't go through the deceased person. It's not, because it was never theirs. So he says that's what we need a pasuk to tell me. This isn't normal dinei Yerusha where it falls under the normal category of the Baal not getting the roi kibamuchsak. You need a separate pasuk to tell me that the husband's not shaykh to the kofar. So the Minchas Yitzchak's dimyon is to insurance money, that life insurance money the person never owns. You're only entitled to that money if you die, meaning you never get that money. So it's very much like the kofar, where it's not going to follow the normal dinei Yerusha. So he says, by kofar, we don't follow the normal dinei Yerusha. The way the Torah sets it up is you give it to the children, regardless. We don't follow the normal dinei Yerusha where the husband would get it. So over here as well, he said that we're not going to follow the normal dinei Yerusha. It's whatever the assumption or the agreement was on that money in the first place. So whoever the life insurance policy is suggested that it's supposed to go to, or the agreement that it was supposed to go to, you don't follow dinei Yerusha. You would follow whatever the agreement on the policy is. Okay, but anyway, so says Gemara, wait a second, so we just made a chiluk that when there's nezikin payments that go to the woman, and the woman dies, so it goes to the husband. But when it's kofar payments, it goes to the yarshim, goes to her children, not to the husband. Does Rabbi Akiva really not say that by nezikin it goes to the yarshim and not to the husband? Vatanya, we have a brisa where we're going to see in the brisa that nezikin also does not go to the husband. We see in this brisa, hikas hiisha v'yatsu yiladeha, if a man hits a woman, hurts her, and the children, she's pregnant, and the children come out, no se nezik v'tsar liisha, the nezik and the tsar payments go to the woman, Vlados the Baal, and the money for the children goes to the husband. Ain a Baal. What if the husband's not around? There is no husband. No sin the Yarshav. You give it to his Yarshim. Ain ha Isha. Let's say there's no woman around. The woman's dead. So no senis the Yarsheha. You give it to her Yarshim. So what do you see? You give it to her Yarshim. The Zikin payment's going to her Yarshim. Haisa Shivcha v'nishtachra ogiyores zacha. If she was a Shivcha, and she was freed, or she's a Gioris, meaning she doesn't have any Yarshim, so then the guy who owes the money gets to keep it, because it becomes like Hefker, and he's the one that's holding on to it right now, so he gets to keep it. So essentially, he doesn't have to pay for it. Right, Rashi explains, so he says, Shivcha v'nishtachra klomar haisu meshuchreres mu'uberes mi'meshuchrar. We're talking about a woman who was meshuchreres, and the husband was an Eved meshuchrar. And that's what we're saying, that's when we say that the guy's going to be zocha in it. Tosos points out two lines from the bottom. Who had the Israelis nesuah ger? Truth is, we could even be talking about the Israelis that's married to a ger. Umes hager de pater the dmei vlados labayla. When we're talking about the dmei vlados go to the husband. So it doesn't really matter what the woman is. That the woman is a meshuchreres or a gioris or whatever. What really matters is that the husband is a ger, and since what he's entitled to can't go to his yarshim because he doesn't have any yarshim. So Mela, the person who owes the money, would be Zocha. V'hadinakat shivcha v'giyores mishum d'urcha d'mil sakach. D'stam ha-shukhreres, d'sul ha-shukhreres, d'stam ha-giyores l'ger. Unbelievable. So that's also the only reason we mentioned a mishukhreres and a giyores is not because we're really talking about a mishukhreres and a giyores. It's just that normally when you have someone that's married to an Eved Meshukhrer, normally it's a mishukhreres. People marry people of roughly the same type of yichus as them. So Gerim marry giyores, that's just the way it happens. So since they marry each other, that's why we go with that's why we mention that the woman is a meshuchreres giyores, but that's not really essential to what we're saying. If you look at Rashi on the top, o giyores mu'uberes miger, a giyores that's pregnant from a ger, umesu shnehem pater menakol. If they both die, you're totally pater, shehu kodem, because whoever owes the money is the one holding on to the money right now. Hol ve'ein lo yarshin kol hakodem b'shalah zacha v'zesh yashon b'yado kodem l'kol. Since she doesn't have any yarshin, the one that's holding on to the money is the first one to get it, so the first one to the money gets to keep it. Kodem l'kol adam avli Yisraelis mu'beres mi'Yisrael. But if it's a regular Jewish woman married to a regular Jewish guy, afilu ein lem banim, even if they don't have children, but there's always yarshim, right? Yesh lo yarshim lirash chelka, v'yesh lo yarshim lirash chelka. Whatever she's supposed to get, she has yarshim to receive that. Whatever he's supposed to get, he also has yarshim, because there's always relatives. V'davka nishtachrer rakodem chavala. That's only if the shichur happened before the incident that she was wounded. Aval haisa shivcha kishachaval ba chayiv bekal afilu b'dmei vlados. But if she was a shivcha at the time that the guy hit her, that the guy hurt her, so then he's for sure going to be chayiv in everything, because she doesn't receive the payments anyway. The payments go to the Adon, right? And the Adon is a regular Jew. V'yitin l'Adonel, d'dmei vlado shivcha, einim el l'bailim shalak, d'amin l'kaman, b'shor shalak sparo, d'am l'ay, chumrasim avata, azaktaminai. I mean, the point is, the owner, which would be the Adon, would receive anything anyway, and he's a regular Jew, so he would receive everything. Now, of note is the fact that, first of all, we asked the Kasha and Rabbi Akiva from this Brai, so we're still at that Kasha right now, meaning where the Kasha is. Does Rabbi Akiva really say that the husband does receive Nezikin, he just doesn't get the Kofar? Doesn't this Brai assume that the woman's Nezikin payments go to her Yarshim, not to the husband? When this Brisa, so the first issue is we say, how can you say Rabbi Akiva holds Nezikin goes to the husband? We see in this Brisa otherwise. Rabbi Akiva is allowed to argue on a Brisa. We don't see in this Brisa that Rabbi Akiva says anything in this Brisa, right? Rabbi Akiva is not the quoted author of the Brisa, so that's a little bit unusual. So the Shita Sakadmonim says that it has to be that Rabbi Akiva is the author of the Brisa, because we don't find any other Tana that holds that an Isha is Nizkel Yarsheha, except for Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva is the only one that ever says that a woman's Nizikim goes through her Yarshim. Now, we thought to limit it to Kofar, but this Brisa, which voices that opinion, clearly does not limit it to Kofar. So that's why we're assuming automatically that the Brisa is Rabbi Akiva. Also of note is the Brisa talks about what to do with the Nezek and Tsar payments. You hit a woman, the children come out, so what do you do with the Nezek, the Tsar, and the Dmei Vlados? What about all the other payments? Right? There's not just Nezek Tsar, there's Ripoy, Sheves, Boshes. What about all those payments? So Tosos in Dibur Maskel, Nosi Nezek Vitzar Leisha, points out, Nakat Nezek Vitzar Lefisha Regilus Hu Shemitzta Eres Yoser V'gam Nefchasin Demek Shem HaPelos Alidei Haka'a Mikshi Eledes Bizmana. If a woman miscarries by getting hit, by getting hurt, generally speaking, the Tsar and the Nezek is going to be greater than if she were to just go through labor and have a baby. But the Ripoy and the Sheves, generally there won't be much of a difference anyway. I mean, a woman's she's going to be a Chola. She's pregnant, she's going to be a Chola, she's going to need Ripoy. Aval Ripoy v'Sheves, Urcha demilsu, she'in tzricha Ripoy, v'gam einu mispatelas, yoser, mimalacha, mishar yoledes. She's not going to miss more days of work, nor is she going to require more of a Ripoy if she miscarries than if she has a baby. Either way, she's going to go through a period of Ripoy and Sheves. So if that's what she had waiting for her anyway, so there's not really going to be much of a Ripoy and a Sheves payment. That's why we don't mention those payments. That's an interesting ha'ara, that we look at Ripoy not based on the refuah that she needs, but based on the refuah that she needs more than she would have needed had this guy not come along. Right now she would not have needed any refuah. It would have come later on when she had the babies. Yeah, but you know it's sofa lovo. You know that eventually the refuah is going to come. The refuah payments, the refuah is going to be necessary for her. So since eventually the refuah is going to be necessary for her, we evaluate refuah payments relative to what she has coming to her, which to me is a big chiddush. Maybe she'll never need refuah. Maybe she'll get hit by a truck tomorrow and she'll never need refuah and she'll die and she'll never need refuah payments. How do you know she's gonna? But apparently, that's what we assume. Since in her current physical state, she's bound to or assumed to eventually need refuah and sheves, so we just evaluate the difference in refuah and sheves. We still didn't deal with boshes though. So says Tosfos in Tomer, boshes my time a lochashiv. Why don't we mention the boshes? The Eishlomar niskavin levayish zeh ubiyish zeh patler b'shem bachovel. If you intend to embarrass one person and you accidentally embarrass another person, you're patler. Umari the niskavin lahakos chaver v'hikiyisha kipashe dekra. And the pasha pshat over here, we're talking about a case where the guy didn't try to hit the woman. The guy tried to hit the other person, to hit another guy, and he accidentally hit the woman. So in that case, the boshes is not. There's not going to be any boshes payment because he didn't have any kavana for the woman. Okay. Anyway, so the Gemara is stuck at a Kasha now. The Kasha kasha is, I thought, Rabbi, how could you say Rabbi Akiva holds that the nezikin payments do go to the husband? We have this brisa that says that even the nezikin payments go to her yarshim and not to the husband. Amarabba begrusha. Yeah, the brisa is talking about where she's divorced, and that's why you give it to the yarshim, because the husband divorced her after the chavala, right? After the wound, after she was injured, the husband divorced her. So now the payments are going to go to the yarshim. V'cheinam Rav Nachman begrusha, and that's what Rav Nachman explained as begrusha amri, that we're talking about a grusha. So frak the Gemara, okay, if we're talking about a grusha, what did we say happens to the money for the children, right? So we said the money for the children goes to the husband. But if she was divorced, grusha nami tiflog b'dmei vlados. Why doesn't she get her fair share of the dmei vlados if she's if we're dealing with a grusha, right? Why should the husband, she's just as much a parent to the children as the husband is? Why should he get everything? So it says Gemara, Amar Rav Papa, Torah zichsa dmei vlados labal afilu baal labiznos. For whatever reason, the Torah is mezaka the dmei vlados to the husband, to the father of the children, even if he was boel her biznus, even if he's not really her husband. My taima, where do we know that from a pasuk? Amar kra, pasuk says kasher yashislav bal haisha. Pasuk says bal haisha, so apparently it's the boel of the woman, right? Why does he have to say bal haisha? So you see, it's the one who's boel the woman. That's the one who gets the dmei vlados, right? That's the pasuk that talks about the dmei vlados, right? The beginning of that pasuk is v'chi natsu anashim v'natfu isha hara. Two men are fighting and they hit a pregnant woman, and v'yatsu yiladev lo yasam, that the children come out and there's no the woman doesn't die. So anoshi anesh kasher yashav bal haisha. Right, so you give to the Baal Ha'isha. So V'nukma L'Rabba Gon Shagavu Mal Slav Nachman Gon Shagavu Karka. So Frak the Gemara, why do you have to say we're talking about a grusha? We have a much better way to say that, to knock the husband out of the picture for the Dmei Nezikin. We have an easier way to knock the husband out of the picture for the Dmei Nezikin. According to Rabba, you can say it's talking about a case where they were gove money. According to Rav Nachman, where they were gove karka. And we'll explain right now. Dama Rabba, gavu karka, yeshlo, gavu ma'os, ainlo. Rabba writes that if the Yarshim collect karka from a loan that their father was owed, so the Bechor gets pishnayim, because that's considered muchzak. Bechor only gets pishnayim in muchzak, not in ra'ui. Right? This is what Davi was referring to before. That the Bechor gets pishnayim in muchzak, not in something that's ra'ui. So if you look at Rashi, Dama Rabba, gavu Yarshim karka b'milva shehilva aviyem, yeshel Bechor pishnayim, davle kemuchzak, tai karka ishtabalei lavuon. That karka is meshubad, so it's as if it was in his possession, the father's possession the whole time. But gavu ma'os, ein lo pishnayim, delav hani ma'os, hiniach aviyem, vavi ra'ui. But money, the money that you get paid back is not the same dollar bills that the father lent out, so therefore it's only considered ra'ui, it's not considered muchzak. Wherever that money is, it's at the time that the father dies, the father was not yet muchzak in it. And therefore the Bukhar would not get pishnayim in it. For Rav Nachman Amar, and Rav Nachman says, no, it's just the opposite. Gavu ma'os yeshlo, gavu karka einlo. Rav Nachman would say that if gavu ma'os yeshlo, that's considered muchzak when it's money. Why? Because he lent money and all cash is considered the same. Granted, it's not the same dollar bills, but all cash is considered one unit. I lent money, I'm getting back money. But gavu karka einlo, because the father never left them any karka, they were only ro'i to receive the karka should the borrower not be able to pay them back cash. So the karka is considered to be ro'i and not to be muchzak, and you know, Pishnaim. So why don't we just say, if we want to say that the Yarshim receive it and we want to knock the husband out of the picture, just say that according to Rabba, we're talking about where there was where they collected money, and therefore it's considered ra'ui. According to Rav Nachman, where it was karka, and therefore it's considered ra'ui, and the Baal we know doesn't take, but ra'ui can be both suck. So that's how you could have knocked the husband out of the brisa. You don't need to say that that she was a grusha. So Amri Hani Mil Bnei Ma'arav Alib Drabban Ki Kamri Hacha Kirebi. He says no, but that's only the Rabban Rav Nachman's disagreement is only within the sheet of the Rabbanan. We pass like Rebbe, or we're assuming like Rebbe, and therefore it's not by the Grusha. We're assuming like Rebbe, who says that a Bechor notel pishnayim b'shevach, because it's considered like a muchzak, and therefore kol shkein he would receive pishnayim in a loan. So meaning, since we're assuming like Rebbe that a bechor takes pishnayim in a loan, right? So we don't have the whole premise of the discussion of what's considered roi a muchzak assumes a bechor does not take pishnayim in a loan that's only considered a roi. Rebbe holds not that way though. Rebbe holds a bechor does take pishnayim in a loan, therefore a loan is always considered apparently to be muchzak and not considered to be roi. The ketzos in some resh samaches asks from this Gemara on the sheet of the Rashbam in Bab Basra Kufchav Dalid. The Rashbam writes that according to Rebbe, that a loan is considered muchzak, that every loan is considered muchzak. The Rashbam writes that's only a milva b'shtar, not a milva al pet. Now over here, what are we talking about? We're not even really talking about a loan. We're talking about nezikin payments. Nezikin payments is obviously not a milva b'shtar. Right? There's no shtar for nezikin payments. And nevertheless, we assume that the money owed is considered muchzak according to Rebbe. So the Ketzos points out this Gemara is a clear raya against that Rashbam. You see that money owed, even without a shtar, is considered muchzak according to Rebbe. So how could the Rashbam say that a loan is only considered muchzak if it's a milv b'shtar, but a milv al peh is not considered muchzak according to Rebbe? So you see this Gemara seems to be a strong raya against the Rashbam. But either way, the Gemara is only saying that our discussion assumes that money owed is considered muchzak, is not considered ra'ui. Okay, says the Gemara, Amr Rabbi Shimon Lakish, a little easier now. Amr Rabbi Shimon Lakish, Shar Shemes is Eved Shlo B'Kavana Patim Yishlosh M'Shkalim. A Shar kills an Eved without Kavana to kill the Eved, so you don't have to pay the Shlosh M'Shkalim that you normally pay for killing an Eved, Shenemar, because the Pasuk says, Kesef Shlosh M'Shkalim Yitain La'adonav, V'Ashar Yisakel. That normally, when a Shar kills an Eved, two things happen. You pay Shlosh M'Shkalim, and you kill the Shar. So what do we learn from there? That the two are dependent on each other. Whenever the shor gets skila, the bailam gets shloshim shkalim. Whenever the shor doesn't get skila, so there's no shloshim shkalim for the bailam. The bailam doesn't pay shloshim shkalim. Ain't a shor b'skila, ain't a bailam shalom shloshim shkalim. Period. Right. Straightforward. Another halacha. Amar Rabba. Shor shemis ben chorin shalom b'kavana. If a shor kills a ben chorin without a regular guy without having kavana to do so, pater mi kofer. He's pater from the kofer payment. Shenemar hashor yisakel v'gam ba'alav yimasim kofer yushasalav. When do you pay kofar? When the shor kills somebody and gets skila, you pay the kofar. So again, we darshin. Kolzman shashar b'skila bailam mishalim kofar. Only if you're going to kill the shor will the bailam pay kofar. Meaning, you only kill the shor if the shor does so with kavana. If the shor kills with kavana, ein shor b'skila, ein bailam mishalim kofar. If the shor doesn't get skila, the bailam doesn't pay kofar. So again, another very straightforward din. All we're saying is that these psukim make the din of the shloshim shaleved and the din of the kofar dependent on the skila of the shor. That if the shor is not going to get skila, then these dinim of shloshim shaleved and of kofar for killing a ben chorin simply don't apply. Esve abaye, hamis shorias ploni o shoru shal ploni, harezim shalom al piatzmo. If a person comes to Bezin and says, my shor killed so and so, or my shor killed this person's shor, so you pay al piatzmo. You pay based on your own admission. So forget about shor shal ploni. Let's assume ploni now. I say, my shor killed Ruvain. So I'm going to pay al piatzmo. Now, what am I paying al piatzmo? My lav kofer, aren't I paying kofer? Now, my shor doesn't get skila when I come and say, hamish shor yis ploni. So we see that the two are not in the, right? The shor doesn't get skila because we say, because of the drasha that we mentioned before, kimisas habaylim kach misas hashor. Just like a guy can't get himself killed by walking into basin and saying, I deserve to get killed. A shor doesn't get skila by the owner of the shor walking into Bezin and saying, my shor deserves skila. So the shor is not going to get skila, and apparently you still pay a kofar payment. So how can you, Rabbi, say that the kofar is dependent on the skila? We see it's not so. So Gemara says, who's talking about a kofar payment? Lo, damim, we're not talking about kofar. We're talking about paying the value of the guy. Meaning, you're not going to pay a kofar payment, you're going to pay the person's value that you killed. Since when do you do that? Since when you kill a person, you pay a person's value? So it says Rashi, Hadik Tani Mishalim Lav Bitar's Kofar Dinibai Kapara, Dafil Lomishalim Nami, Kigon Ilesli Nichse Lav Bichlal Onishu, Dain Kofar below Skila the Shar. That there is no Kofar without the Skila of the Shar, Aval Hechad Isle Nichse, Al Karch Mishalim Damim. But if you have money, you still pay the Damim. Why? The Logara Misa Minizakin. Why should Misa be any less than Nizikin? Dilu Azke Afagav Dainam If you damage a person, so you don't get the shor doesn't get killed, but you still pay for the value of the damage. Over here, you get off free from everything else. So at the very least, you should pay for the damage. You should pay for the money that the person was worth to the yarshim. So. Tosos, wait a second. We first thought it was a kofar payment. So we're saying, no, when you say that my shor killed a person, it's not a kofar payment, it's a damim payment. Fractosos, if you hold that the way the value of the kofar is determined is based on how much the nizik was worth, so is there any difference between kofar and damim? Either way, you're paying the value of the guy that was killed. What's the nafkamina, whether it's a kofar payment or a damim payment? So it says Tosos v'nira l'ri kigon shemes hamazik de'in kapar li'achramisa k'mochatos v'yashem de'in bal li'achramisa avul damim mishalim. If the mazik dies, if it's a kofar payment, kofar kapara, right? You're only paying for your own kapara. You only get that kapara when you're still alive. If the person, the mazik, was dead already, the yashem don't have to pay his kapara payments because there's no kapara li'achramisa anyway. But if the mazik is dead already, a damim payment, his yarshim certainly should have to pay, right? Because a damim payment is money that he owes. But Odi Shlomo Tosfos says a couple lines later, the nafkamina bein damim lekofer de damim yachal limchol v'kofer ein yachal limchol. That another nafkamina is, can the guy be mochel? So if I owe money, he can be mochel. But if it's money that's owed as a way of me achieving kapara, I don't get that kapara unless I suffer that loss, unless I pay that money. So I need to pay that money in order to achieve a kapara. If you have a pshit on the kofar shalim amrachman of lochatzi kofar of nafkamina nami laha, and if also we had such a din of kofar shalim lochatzi kofar, so that would also be a different din because there's no such thing as damim lochatzi damim. So okay, so then we would have a third nafkamina as well. So there are a variety of nafkaminas, whether it's a damim or a kofar payment. We had the possibility, where had a havmina and daf mem, that if shor shel shutfim kills a person, that each one would have to pay full kofar. If it were a damim payment, obviously you wouldn't say each one would have to pay the full damim, right? So so that would be enough kamina also. The Gemara assumes a possibility that the person that the person will pay. Since the person will want to receive a kapara, he doesn't need encouragement to pay, and therefore you don't need to take a mashkon. So if it's a kapara payment, you may not need to take a mashkon. But if it's damim payment, it's nothing about kapara. So based on that gemara in daf mem, if it were a damim payment, you would be memashkinin also, right? You would take a mashkon from him. So again, another nafkamina between whether it's damim or kofar. So there are a lot of nafkaminas. Just because the amount of money is not going to be a nafkamina, doesn't mean that there aren't other nafkaminas between whether it's a damim payment or a kofar payment. The Ravid even suggests kofar is based on not his slave market value, but his eruchin value. As opposed to damim would obviously be a slave market value, not a zeruchin value. So again, there are many other nafkaminas, the Rav and the Meiri quote others over here as well. Okay, anyway, says the Gemara Vayter. E damim. Okay, so for assuming that when the guy walks into base and says, my shor killed Ruvain, so he pays damim, so ema seifa, that brisa continues and says, Hamis Shorias Avdo Shalploni, Enum Shalim El Piatzmo. That if a person walks into base and says, my shor killed someone's Eved, he doesn't pay Al Piatzmo. The Idamim my low, but if it's a damim payment, why shouldn't he pay Al Piatzmo? Meaning if it's a kofar payment, I understand. So he's not going to pay based on his own admission. But if it's a damim payment, meaning if it's a Shloshim Shalav payment, I understand he's not going to pay Al Piatzmo, it's a Knas. But if it's a damim payment, why shouldn't he pay Al Piatzmo? Samalay Yachilna Lashunilach Resha Dam Seva Knas. Truth is, we can get out of it by just saying the Reisha is talking about a damim payment, but the Sefer, when it talks about killing an Eved, is talking about a Knas payment, so he doesn't pay Al Piatzmo. So I could have told you that, but I know you're not in the mood for those kinds of answers, right? To give you stretched answers where I say the Reisha is talking about one case and the Sefer is talking about something else, I know that's not the best way to go about it. Edved, rather, it's best to say damim, that both the Reisha and the Sefer are talking about damim payments. Why then, when I admit that my shor killed an eved, do I not pay damim? Miu ben chorin de mishalim kofar al piatzmo vechidami. Ben chorin, when you kill a ben chorin, where you can pay kofar al piatzmo, it's shayich to pay kofar al piatzmo. How so? The yasu sadi vasidu be dekat of loyadi yitama v'imuad hava. If Edom come to base and say this animal killed, we just have no idea if it was a tam or a muad, and it only pays kofar if it's a muad. Va'amar mare de muadhu, and the owner of the animal himself confirms that it was in fact a muad, and therefore he's going to be chayv to pay kofar, the mishalim kofar al piatzmo. So that's paying kofar sort of al piatzmo, because it's the owner himself who confirmed that it was a muad. So So when there are no edim, it's shaykh to say that you're going to pay the damim payment. Because when there are edim, you're still going to pay the kofar al pi atzmo. In contrast, gabe eved, sheinu mishalim knas al pi atzmo, by an eved, you never pay the knas based on your own admission. Vechidami, for example, the asu edim asidu be dekat of loyadi yitam avi imur hava, if edim come and say, yeah, we saw this shard that belongs to this guy, kill an Eved, we just have no idea if the shard is a Tam or a Muad, and obviously it's only going to pay the Knas of the Eved if it's a Muad, Vamrabari Muadhu. And the owner says, yeah, it's a Muad. Lomishtaim Knas al Piatzmo. So he doesn't pay the Knas al Piatzmo, he does not pay. So then it stands to reason that when there are no edim, he's not going to pay the damim either. That's the difference between the eved and the ben chorin. And that's why when you're moda that your animal killed the ben chorin, you're going to pay the damim al piatzma. When you're moda the animal killed an eved, you're not going to pay the damim al piatzma. Masav Rav Shmuel bar Yitzchak kol shechayv ben chorin chayv beved ben kofar ben misa kofar beved miika. So wait a second. Rav Shmuel bar Yitzchak says we have a statement that anyone who's chayv anything that you're chayv for in a ben chorin, you're chayv for in an eved, whether it be kofar or misa. But wait a second. There's no such thing as kofar for an eved. So what are we talking about? Elav damim. Must be that we're talking about damim. So you see that whenever you're going to be chayv damim for a ben chorin, you're going to be chayv damim for an eved also. So it sounds like by hoda'as Atzma, when you admit you should be chayiv damim for the eved, see kedamri who most of them mafarik lo kedamri amalei rabba. Either he answered it himself or rabba answered as follows. Hachik tani, what we really meant to say was as follows. Kol shechayiv ben chorin. Anytime you're going to be chayiv kofar by ben chorin, namely bekavana al piedim kofar. Anytime you're going to be chayiv kofar by ben chorin, namely if the shor killed bekavana and there were edim there, so chayiv be'evet knas. Then you're going to, in an equivalent case with kavana and with edim, you're going to be chayiv knas for the eved. Bekol shechayiv ben chorin shalo bekavana al piedim damim. Whenever you're going to be chayiv damim for a ben chorin, namely it was done shalo bekavana but there were edim, chayiv be'evet. You're also going to be chayv damim for the eved, namely when it's shalog b'kavana and there are edim. But that whole statement was only about when there are edim, meaning nothing in that statement was about a person coming and being moda. If a person comes and is moda, then there's a clear difference between a ben chorin and an eved. If I come and I'm moda that my shor killed a ben chorin, I'll pay damim. If I come and I'm moda my shor killed an eved, I'm not going to pay damim. Right? That whole statement was only about cases of edim, and the distinction was only whether there was kavana or not. But either way, it was only cases of edim. Amle Rava, so frekt Rava ihachi isha. If you're going to say that a sharo shalo bekavana when there are edim and it doesn't pay kofar, therefore pays damim. If that's the case, so anytime there's no kofar, you're going to pay damim. Isha shalo bekavana al pi edim mishalim damim. When my fire kills somebody, there's no kofar when a fire kills somebody. So when the fire kills somebody and it's shalo bekavana and there are edim there, I should pay damim. So minalei the rav of the lo mishalim. How do you know it's not so? Maybe it's taka true. So Gemara is going to have three possibilities. Ilema, if you're going to say he knows it's not so, miditnan from the fact that we have a mishnah gedi kafas lo veved samal chav v'nisrof yimel chayiv. If a gedi is tied down to a bundle or an eved is near it and it gets burnt with the fire that you burnt the bundle down, so you're going to be chayiv. Eved kafas lo gedi samal chav v'nisrof yimel pater. But if the eved is tied to it or the gedi is near it, you're going to be pater. And we're assuming at this point that you're pater on the eved because there's no tashlum in the eved unless there's knas by a shor muad, and meaning it's not because of kamle b'drab minei ha'amrei shlakish. So maybe that's how Rava knows that Yitaka don't pay for the knas for the you don't pay damim rather for your aish. So hamrei shlakish kon shehitzes beguf shalavet the kamle b'drab minei. No, over there you're not paying anything because you're chayv misa, right? Because of kamle b'drab minei. Ve'ela mehadatanya, maybe Rava knows it from the following brisa. Chomer be'ish mi bebar she'ish muadus lechel bein davar roila bein davar shein roila. The chomer eish has over bar is that eish is a muad to destroy everything. Masha'ein kein bebar as opposed to a bar. Ve'ilu she'ish meshalem shlo bekavana damim masha'ein kein bebar lo katani. But it does not draw a distinction that an eish pays damim shlo bekavana and bar doesn't. So apparently Rava knows that eish does pay does not pay damim shelo bekavana. So dilma tana v'shir. Now that's not a raya. Maybe he just left out that distinction. Ela Rava gufei yibuyim mibayle. Rava himself was bothered by this shaila. Isha shelo bekavana mimishalim damim lo. Rava wasn't sure. He was asking, does an eish that's lit shelo bekavana pay damim or not? Do we say that by shor, since bekavana you pay kofer, shalom bekavana you pay damim? Avul isho de bekavana lo mishalim kofer, shalom bekavana nami lo mishalim damim. But by a fire where even when you do bekavana you don't pay kofer, so shalom bekavana you're not going to pay damim. Or dilmor, maybe given the gabe shor shalom bekavana, avul gav de leka kofer mishalim damim. Since by shor when it's not done bekavana, even in, though there is no kofer, you still pay damim. So you see that damim is not dependent on kofer. Gabi ishonami, so by an eish also. Afagav de bekavana lo mishalim kofer. Even though you never pay kofer by an eish, shalo bekavana miyas mishalim damim. But when it's shalo bekavana, you should pay damim, because you see that just like by the bar, when it's by the shore, when it's shalo bekavana, you pay damim in and not kofer. So that was Rav Shaila. Velo yadim, we don't know the answer. Teku, and we leave it as a teku. Okay, we'll pick up from there tomorrow.